A federal judge has blocked the deployment of the National Guard in Portland for the second time in 2 days. Fox's Ashley Strohmeyer.
The ruling came in an emergency hearing Sunday night. The judge saying the current administration seemed to defy her first order on Saturday. That judge went on to say the administration's deployment of Guard troops from California and Texas to Portland after her ruling was an effort to circumvent her decision. President Trump says troops are needed in major cities to fight violence and control protests aimed at federal immigration agents. And now while Texas's National Guard will no longer go to Oregon, it will still go to Chicago to join Illinois Guard troops there. California and Oregon officials are criticizing the deployment, saying the administration should not federalize troops.
And the government shutdown continues after lawmakers failed to pass a funding bill this last week. And Ashley Strohmeyer reports on that story.
The government shutdown enters into its sixth day, and a deal to reopen it is nowhere in sight. President Trump says the Republicans are winning and remains confident in a positive outcome. The Democrats are pressuring Republicans to extend enhanced Obamacare subsidies and include it in any funding bill. The GOP, though, says the issue should wait until the end of the year. Meanwhile, Trump is threatening waves of layoffs on top of the federal workers already furloughed.
Senators will try again later today to pass a resolution to fund the government. House doesn't have any votes scheduled for this week. An 18-year-old man died early Sunday in the crash of a motorcycle and an SUV after he was trapped under an overturned vehicle in East Wichita at Central and Hydraulic. Officers found the teen driver of the SUV trapped. Firefighters extricated him, and he was hospitalized in critical condition. He died a short time later. His name has not been released. Two teenage girls from Wichita were hospitalized after a jet ski crash at the Lake of the Ozarks Friday night.
The Missouri State Highway Patrol responded around 5:45 p.m. A 13-year-old girl and a 15-year-old girl were reportedly riding watercrafts when the older teen sideswiped the other, ejecting both from their watercrafts. The 13-year-old was transported to Lake Regional Hospital with serious injuries, while the 15-year-old had minor injuries. Emergency crews say both teens were wearing safety devices. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
A man convicted in connection with a shooting in an Old Town parking garage last year has been sentenced in Sedgwick County District Court.
James Spivey, who was 18 at the time of the shooting, was sentenced Friday to 86 months or just over 7 years in prison. Last September, a shooting wounded a 20-year-old man in a pickup who drove away and called police from a nearby Quick Trip. Spivey, along with two other men, was arrested and charged with criminal discharge of a firearm. Spivey was also charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Phil Hildebrand, KNSS News.
Police in Montgomery, Alabama are trying to learn what prompted Saturday's mass shooting.
Police say two groups opened fire, killing a 17-year-old boy and a woman. 12 others were injured, 5 critically. Montgomery Police Chief James Graybois describes how the situation quickly escalated between the two groups.
When that exchange erupted, multiple people in the crowd, because this was a crowded area, pulled their own weapons and started discharging.
The chief says the youngest victim is 16. A $50,000 reward is available for information leading to the arrest of the shooters. Carmen Roberts, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 8:04, 4 minutes past 8 o'clock.
In sports coming up, we'll tell you all about, give you a little bit of a preview of the Chiefs game coming up tonight, Monday Night Football. We'll tell you all about that in sports.
Israel and Hamas are set to meet for indirect talks. That story and more coming up on the KNSS Morning News.
Hi, I'm Trey Bossa with Market Medicare Advisors here in Wichita. I'm excited to announce I'm hosting
KNSS News Time now, 8:07, 7 minutes past 8 o'clock. Steve, 10 in the morning here, breaking news on KNSS. Butler County Dispatch confirming that a person has been killed early this morning, in a shooting at El Dorado Lake. The shooting occurred around 4 a.m., and the dispatch confirmed the shooting was not a homicide, not a suicide, and that authorities are investigating the incident. Again, that's at El Dorado Lake, a fatal shooting around 4 o'clock this morning. Israel and Hamas are set to meet for indirect talks after Hamas said it was partially accepting a peace proposal from the U.S. and Israel. Fox's Steve Harrigan has the latest from Tel Aviv.
The Israeli delegation is set to head to Egypt on Monday. In the meantime, Prime Minister Netanyahu told the nation that he believes all the hostages will be released in the coming days. One key snag could be disarming Hamas. The organization has not said it will agree to give up its rockets or its rifles. Israeli officials say that's going to happen either through diplomacy or through the use of military force. Here on the ground, more than 100,000 people came out last night to show their support for the return of the hostages, many expressing for the first time a real sense of cautious optimism.
There are 48 hostages still in Gaza, with about 20 believed to be alive. Suspects have been arrested in connection with an attack on federal agents in Chicago. Fox's Christina Coleman reports.
Two suspects were charged in federal court with using their vehicles to assault, impede, and interfere with the work of federal agents in Chicago. DHS says they were part of a group of domestic terrorists who rammed federal agents with their vehicles and boxed them in with their cars in Broadview, Illinois. DHS says Miramar Martinez was armed with a semi-automatic weapon and has a history of doxing federal agents. Anthony Ian Santos Ruiz, they say he was driving one of the other vehicles during this attack.
Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker accused federal agents of making Chicago a war zone. A man was busted in Washington, D.C. after he was found with suspicious materials outside St. Matthew's Cathedral. The cathedral was just hours away from holding its Red Mass, which often includes members of the Supreme Court and associate justices.
D.C. police had been assigned to a detail for Sunday morning's Red Mass, which marks the start of the Supreme Court's annual term. The cops say they saw a man had set up a tent on the steps of St. Matthew's. They found out that man, Louis Jerry of New Jersey, had been previously banned from the premises. But they say Jerry refused to leave this time around, so they arrested him. And as they looked through his tent, they found vials of liquid and possible fireworks. They called out the bomb squad and secured the scene. Jerry's facing preliminary charges of threats to kidnap or injure a person and unlawful entry. In Washington, Jill Nato, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 8:10, 10 minutes past 8 o'clock.
Traffic right now in the Wichita area. Things, the traffic volume starting to thin out a little bit. We do have a stalled out vehicle, though. So, and a lane closure here. This is westbound on Kellogg, and it is between Armor and Woodlawn. So watch out there. The report is a stalled out vehicle with a lane closure, right lane closed. Traffic update from 98.7 at 1330 KNSS, the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center. I'm Chad Chambers.
And now the forecast with meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Isolated showers and storms this morning will become more numerous this afternoon and this evening. Also cooler today with a high of 79. Numerous showers and storms tonight. Things will be winding down come Tuesday morning. Overnight low 54. Becoming partly cloudy on Tuesday. Much cooler, high 66. Partly cloudy and 73 on Wednesday. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
And now mostly cloudy sky. Southeast wind at 8 miles per hour. 65 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. And today is Monday, October 6th. Yesterday's high temperature in Wichita, Sunday's high, 87 degrees. Normal high for the date is 76, so a little bit warmer than usual. And, of course, this is, as we said, day six of the federal government shutdown. And I don't think most folks are feeling it so far anyway, that there's anything different going on right now. On this date, 98 years ago, 1927, magic talking movies with spoken dialogue and music were introduced with the New York premiere of The Jazz Singer, starring Al Jolson. Warner Brothers made $53.5 million on the flick, just as they were on the verge of collapsing. Yeah, Warner Brothers was about to go in the toilet, and they came out with a first talkie, and they made a killing on it and kept them going for several more years. That was 98 years ago in 1927. First talkies, that is in 1927, the year that Lindbergh flew the Atlantic Ocean, and the year that Babe Ruth hit 60 home runs, among other things. A lot of things happened in 1927. Got a couple of birthdays to acknowledge this morning, if I may. A friend and classmate mate from high school, Lori Newby's having a birthday today. Lori's a delightful person and is, again, one of our classmates. I went to school with her for 3 years. And Adrian Geist Rathman's having a birthday. Her mom, Leslie, I went to school with her too. So it's a small world. But there you go. A couple of birthdays for you. Steve with 10 in the morning here at 8:13 on this Monday morning. All right, let's see what else we got on the agenda. Okay, there was a time when social media was fun, or so it says here. Now the only thing actually social about social media is that we're all suffering together. A report in the Financial Times asks if we've passed peak social media. A digital audience insights company looked at data from more than 250,000 adults from 50 countries, found that time spent on social media peaked in 2022 and has since gone into steady decline. How about that? Across the world, adults 16 and older are spending an average of 2 hours and 20 minutes per day on social platforms. Two hours and 20 minutes a day. That's down, by the way, 10% from 2022. That's a lot of time on social media, a couple hours a day.
Well, it happened a lot later than I thought, but I predicted this years ago. I thought that social media would just be a flash in the pan, that it'd be gone after a couple of years. Well, I was wrong about the being quickly over part, but maybe I might be right over the long run.
There you go. A Michigan man said he was disappointed to see someone had won the lottery's $564,000 Club Keno, the jack prize, until he found out the winning ticket was his own. He was annoyed, and then he found out, hey, that's my number. 45-year-old Otsego County man told Michigan lottery officials he's decided to use his prize money to invest. Yeah, not a bad idea, as long as the investments come out good, you know.
Of course, that begs the question. When you see that the lottery's been won, even if you don't have your ticket right away to look, or maybe, you know, you do it differently, Do you automatically assume, oh, man, I didn't win? Or do you think, wow, there's a chance I could have won. Let me go grab the ticket.
I can say this. Several weeks ago, I bought a Powerball ticket when the jackpot was way up there. And I took it home and forgot about it. And in the meantime, I think my wife threw it out. So we didn't win. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah.
We did not win the lottery.
I suppose not. I guess it depends. My question depends on whether or not you're the glass half full or half empty kind. Of course, for me, it's all academic. I don't play the lottery.
Yeah. It was on this date 34 years ago, 1991. Elizabeth Taylor got married for the 8th time.
Wow.
This was time it was Larry Fortensky, a construction worker she had met in rehab. Michael Jackson gave away the bride at his Neverland Ranch. Liz and Larry got divorced in 1996. Liz Taylor, married. 8:16 now, Stephen, 10 in the morning here on KNSS.
Eighth time, probably not the charm, because I believe they got divorced at some point, correct?
1996, took about 4 years. 8:16, 8:17 now, Stephen, 10 in the morning here on KNSS. Let's take a look at sports this morning with Jad Chambers.
Well, in taking a look at sports, we're going to go ahead and start with the big matchup tonight. Week 5 of the NFL season wrapping up in Jacksonville, and it involves our very own Kansas City Chiefs.
There's no better time than now for the Jaguars to get over their Chiefs problem. Jacksonville and Kansas City face off on Monday Night Football with kickoff scheduled for 8:15 Eastern. The Chiefs have an 8-game winning streak against the Jaguars, tied for the franchise's longest current run, but Jacksonville heads into the matchup playing quality football. The Jaguars are 3-1 under first-year head coach Liam Cohen and are fresh off a victory over the 49ers. For the Chiefs, they've turned it around after a slow start to the season, winning two straight to get to .500 on the year. Joe Morgan, Fox News.
Some bad news, though, an injury update for the Chiefs. Wide receiver Xavier Worthy's injury status changing yesterday. The Chiefs listed him as questionable for Monday night's game in Jacksonville with a shoulder and an ankle issue. Worthy injured his shoulder in the Chiefs' season opener against the Los Angeles Chargers in Brazil. He missed the next two games. Now, he was the Chiefs' top receiver in that win over Baltimore. He was actually the leading rusher in the win over the Ravens. He got 38 yards on a couple of carries there. Worthy was listed as a full participant in Saturday's practice, but that ankle injury, new development, so we'll have to see if we even get to see Xavier Worthy tonight on Monday Night Football. And that, of course, Chiefs at Jacksonville, national coverage of Monday Night Football over on 97.5 and 1240 KFH at 6 o'clock. But if you prefer to listen to Mitch and the boys at the Chiefs Radio Network, that, of course, is right here on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. We got a pregame start at 6 o'clock tonight. Kansas State in college football faced Baylor in Texas Saturday. And the Wildcats got on the board first, but wow, it was tied 17-17 at halftime. And then the Wildcats went up a couple of touchdowns. Then Baylor got the couple of touchdowns back. In fact, they scored a two-point conversion on one of them. And so it was 35-34 Baylor. K-State had the football. 5 seconds left. Lining up for a 56-yard game-winning field goal that was blocked by Baylor. Baylor comes away with the win, 35-34. K-State drops to 2-4 on the season. Next up by the Wildcats, a matchup with the Horned Frogs of TCU Saturday at Bill Snyder Family Stadium. And a much better result for KU over the weekend, getting their first road win against UCF. LaShawn Williams rushed for a career-high 3 touchdowns. Kansas defense shut out UCF in the second half, and that included, 2 minutes left, less than 2 minutes left, leading by 7. KU made 3 consecutive stops at the 1-yard line. They hang on for that victory. They get the victory over TCU. KU improves to 4-2 on the year, 2-1 in the Big 12. Kansas continues its two-game road trip as the Jayhawks travel to Lubbock to take on Texas Tech on Saturday. And Wichita State volleyball over this past weekend, and unfortunately they lose to Tulsa 3-1 on Friday, 3-0 on Sunday, dropping to 10-6 on the season, 2-2 in conference play. Next up, the Shockers are going to host UAB on Friday night at Charles Koch Arena. And Wichita State women's golf teeing off today at the Oklahoma Intercollegiate at Prairie Dunes Country Club. The Shockers have finished in the top 5 in all 3 tournaments they've been in so far this season. And that's the most top 5 finishes for the Shockers in a season since 2018-2019. And really, the season's, you know, only just now kind of moving right along. But the Shockers are set up to face their toughest field of the year at Prairie Dunes. 5 competing teams appeared in the latest Women's Golf Coaches Association top 25 rankings. There's also 2 American Conference schools in the field, one of them North Texas, and other American Conference schools in the field, North Texas, and the remaining AAC conference champion, Tulsa, also in the field at Prairie Dunes. So the Shocker women's golf getting underway. And that's sports on Steve and Ted in the morning.
8:22 now. Keep it here for the Hannity Morning Minute. Sean says Democrats are not going to be able to hold the country hostage. That's on the way with Steve and Ted in the morning. What do you got, Chad? Something else?
I just wanted to say that sports on Steve and Ted, brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, featuring that Yumpkin Pumpkin Ale, WC's most popular seasonal beer, made with actual pumpkin, served with a spice rim. Yumpkin Pumpkin is now available at Wichita Brewing Company. Pizza and beer made here.
The Hannity Morning Minute, coming up with Steve and Ted in the Morning here on KNSS.
Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Good morning, 8:30. Steve McIntosh here. It's 67 degrees now. A Hutchinson man has died following a rollover crash in McPherson County on I-135 between McPherson and Lindsborg. Highway Patrol troopers say a Ford Ranger left the roadway. When the driver overcorrected, the vehicle rolled multiple times. A passenger, 19-year-old Joel Guffey, died at the scene. The 20-year-old driver, also from Hutchinson, was hospitalized in Salida with minor injuries. After no meeting last week, the Wichita City Council is back Tuesday with a full agenda.
The council will discuss a proposed loan extension for the Starlight Drive-In. The owner has requested a six-month moratorium on payments due to financial hardship caused by summer storms. The city has drafted an agreement and funding for bridge inspections, rehabilitation, and repair. Wichita police look to make facility improvements and purchase protective equipment for officers. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
A Wichita man has entered a guilty plea to charges that include indecent liberties with a child involving a 14-year-old runaway from Kentucky. Prosecutors say Samuel Laredo arranged for the juvenile to travel to Wichita last November and then had inappropriate relations with the teen. Officers found the man, the teen, walking near 21st and Woodlawn, and later arrested Laredo. Sentencing was set for November 14th. The federal government shutdown has now reached day six with no end in sight. Kansas 4th District Congressman Ron Estes was asked how long he thought the stalemate between Republicans and Democrats would continue.
Well, it's really in the Democrats' court. I mean, they have backed themselves into a corner by saying they're not going to fund the government unless they spend this extra $1.5 trillion. And it's just irrational from that standpoint. So I'd like to think that they will have thought through this over the weekend, now that we've been shut down for almost a week, and look at an approach of saying, okay, so let's open up the government. Let's continue the discussions.
Ron Estes was a guest Sunday night on the John Witter Show on KNSS. Stephen, 10 in the morning, Monday, 8:47 here on KNSS. Three big things.
Three.
Monday Night Football tonight, Kansas City Chiefs at Jacksonville Jaguars.
Two.
Federal government shutdown in day six. No sign of lawmaker solution.
One.
Federal judge blocks Trump deployment of National Guard troops to Portland. Temporary restraining order. Three big things. Steve and Ted on KNSS.
And so far this morning, things at things here in the Wichita area have been looking pretty good, but we do still have a stalled out vehicle westbound on Kellogg, and it is between Armor and Woodlawn. They've actually got the right lane closed there as well, so watch out for that. Again, that is westbound Kellogg between Armor and Woodlawn. Watch out for a slowdown. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center. I'm Jed Chambers.
30% chance for rain and storms today with a high of 81 degrees. 50% chance for rain tonight, the overnight low 55. Then on Tuesday, cooler. 30% chance for rain tomorrow and a high of 66 degrees. Now mostly cloudy, east wind at 6 miles per hour. 67 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. And our weather is brought to you by The Monarch. Join your friends for lunch or drinks after work, relaxing on the patio at The Monarch, 579 West Douglas at the roundabout in Delano. Even 10 in the morning here on KNSS. We've got something, Jed?
Well, I was just going to say, you mentioned the word patio, and man, that reminds me about your home. And if you've got you need work on your home, your patio, anything going there, anyone, we've got KC Cares, Handyman Services. Of course, they're a big sponsor of The Blur. And, you know, we've been telling you about them for years and all the different ways that you can contact them, connect with them, all the different services that they offer. Well, got a website. Check it out. KCCaresHandyman.net. KCCaresHandyman.net. You can learn all about them, get the contact information, figure out if they can help you out on your home.
Hey, we've got a mixed opening on Wall Street this morning. The Dow is opening down about 71 points. The S&P is up by 11, and the NASDAQ is in positive territory by almost 91 points. 8:50 now, Stephen Taylor in the morning here on KNSS. Local medical executive is moving. The Wichita Business Journal update now with editor Kirk Semenoff. Kirk, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Steve. Wesley Medical Center's chief medical officer has moved on to another HCA assignment, this time in Kansas City. Wichita native Lowell Ebersol has been CMO at Wesley for the past 6 years, but started last month as the new CMO at Medical Research Center in Kansas City, Missouri. That's part of the HCA Midwest Health Network. HCA Healthcare is known for moving leaders in its hospital systems around a bit. The Kansas City Hospital is the largest in HCA Midwest Health Network, and its emergency room is one of the busiest in Kansas City. In Wichita, a Wesley spokesperson tells us the hospital is in the process of interviewing replacements for Ebersol. Lawn Buddy, the Wichita-born company that provides lawn care management software to business owners through a mobile app and website, is expanding beyond the U.S. and Canada. CEO Stephen Warner says the business is looking to enter Australia and New Zealand by the end of the year. The move is made possible after payment processing vendor Global Payments formed a partnership with Lawn Buddy and strengthened its footprint in international markets. Lawn Buddy has about 50,000 lawn care providers that use the platform. The company was founded by Warner in 2016. And Coke Incorporated has made millions of dollars in renovations across its Wichita headquarters in the past year to keep up with office upgrades. Since last September, at least 8 building permits valued at an overall $11.6 million have been filed with the Metropolitan Area Building and Construction Department for the Coke headquarters on 37th Street North. Coke's longtime campus contains more than 1.5 million square feet of office, manufacturing, and lab space. The nation's second largest private company and one of Wichita's largest employers, Coke has about 3,000 local employees. The largest upgrade was a building permit issued last November, valued at $9 million for the renovation of 27 restrooms on floors 1 through 8 of the Coke Tower building. Local breaking business news every day on KNSS and at WichitaBusinessJournal.com. For the Wichita Business Journal, I'm Kirk Semenoff.
And a Business Journal update brought to you by Mr. Electric, lighting up the path to your success. Well, Kirk, we've been talking about Elizabeth Taylor this morning, big star, and of course, at least one of her grandparents was from our Kansas City, I believe. And she had a Wichita or a Kansas connection to her. And we're talking about this was the date she married her eighth husband, actually her seventh, but her eighth marriage, Larry Fortensky. They married in 1976, divorced in 1982. I beg your pardon, 91 to 96. Now, I'll give you $100 if you can give me all of the husbands that Elizabeth Taylor had. Can you give me a list? No?
I can give you one. Richard Burton, right?
That's right. Hey, that's good. Very good. Here's the list.
I have no idea on the others.
First husband was Michael Wilding. That was in the 1950. They divorced in 51. And then there was Mike Todd, and he actually they were married in 57, I believe, and he actually died in a plane crash. And apparently that's the one, apparently what I've been told is Mike Todd was the love of her life. She also married Eddie Fisher, took him away from Debbie Reynolds, and then Richard Burton came along, she married him, and then they divorced, and then they got married again. So there you go.
I get credit for two then.
Yeah. Senator John Warner was married to her for a while, and there you go. 8 marriages, 7 guys. I've only had one wife.
Why do you think all those guys failed at marriage with her? Or do you think might have been a problem with her?
I don't know. She liked diamonds, and they probably couldn't keep up with her spending, I guess. I don't know. Today is National Noodle Day. You know, we know that noodles have been around for over 4,000 years, popular all over the world, ranging in shape from flat to round to twisted. It can be made from rice, buckwheat, wheat, or without eggs, and even from zucchini. National Noodle Day. My wife and I, she had a little touch of a cold, so we actually dined on chicken noodle soup over the weekend a couple of times. So there you go. Kirk, celebrate Noodle Day. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning right here with Stephen Taylor.
You got it.
All right. If you missed any of this, let's see what we got. Oh, Glenn Beck's coming up here in just a few minutes. And political violence and the left wing. That's what they're going to be talking about. Top of the hour news at 9 o'clock. Federal judge blocks National Guard deployment to Portland. That's on the way. If you missed any of today's show, just want to listen again, check out the free Odyssey app. Steve and Ted in the morning on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita.